Off the Ball, GAA.
So you've got Gerard O'Connor, you've got O'Mara, you've got really good players coming in, right? I mean, really good players, not just okay players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeba going on his own, he gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. Our first show of 2025. We certainly have an awful lot to talk about. We're looking back on the defeat to Leinster at Thomond Park as the Blues leave with a bonus point win. And we're going to look ahead to Munster versus Saracens. It's a massive game for Munster season this weekend. Huge, huge pressure on the Reds heading into this game. We'll discuss that and more on this week's episode of the Red 78. And who better to discuss it with than Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. Guys, Happy New Year. It's great to see you.
Happy New Year, Rory. I hope you had a good break. I had a couple of weeks off, so I'm feeling refreshed and ready to roll into 2025.
Quinlan, refreshed, ready to roll into 2025?
Red 78.
Nobody
knows Munster rugby better.
First couple of days were lovely, but we got bombarded with snow here in Tipperary. Yeah. So, hens and donkeys and dogs and cattle have to be fed. So it's a little bit tricky doing all that. But it was nice. It was a nice break. Strange no game at the weekend as well. URC break. We haven't had that in a long time. Normally, there's an inter-pro game. There's usually three in that Christmas period, isn't there? So, it's been nice. Trapped at the moment anyway with ice and snow, but hopefully that'll change on the next day or two.
Yeah, certainly will. We have a lot to talk about, guys. We're going to talk about that Leinster defeat very, very shortly. We have a couple of comments in, though, Fiona, and a couple of interesting questions being raised from them.
Yeah, look, Pat again, he's always sending us tweets. So I'll read out a couple that come in. Pat said, happy 2025. We were sloppy and second best all day against the boys in blue. Moving on to the game against Sarries, there seems to be a bit of a light on the injury front and that the boys have trained well. Sarries got a bit of a doing against Bath and have it tough and always have had it tough at Thomond. And then Rugby Utes on Twitter, this is kind of for you, Quinn. Happy New Year, Alan. Just wondering, is there something missing in Munster's DNA currently? In the past, even with injuries, Munster would always still put in a huge performance, especially at home matches, but there just seems to be something lacking lately. And also, do you think they miss Joey Carberry?
Double barrel question there. There's something missing in the DNA. I don't know. I think when results aren't great and there's a little bit of a lack of kind of buzz around the setup at the moment, you could kind of look at that. And what does DNA mean? I don't know. It's culture, isn't it? It's probably, Munster will always get compared to my era of probably winning those two Heineken Cups and probably the success we had winning the league a number of times as well and been probably at the top end of competition all for a period of 10, 12 years. So I've always said it's a little bit unfair and it's hard on players who play for Munster afterwards because there's that expectation there. So DNA, I suppose it comes down to characters and individuals and their kind of determination and drive and all that kind of stuff. And really that word culture that we hear a lot. So, look, you've got to try and create a culture and, a year and a half or nearly 2 years, Munster won the URC. And I think that was probably a period of an uplifting period for everybody. It was a fantastic achievement. And I suppose, you know, a little bit of luck, a little bit of help on the injury front, and I think they'd be in a stronger position. I think all is not lost. You know, you're kind of on the halfway point of the season, halfway in the league, halfway in the pool matches in Europe. And again, I don't exactly know, are they missing, you know, the DNA? I think that comes over time. It comes, you know, young players, you can't really expect them to come in and understand the importance of everything that goes in the history of the jersey. But possibly, I don't know. And that comes down to probably some characters and real kind of Munster people, if you like. And that takes a bit of time with experience. But I think what's wrong at the moment is very evident. I think the squad could do with some strengthening, but the injury front is killing the team and it's constantly killing them. Everybody has injuries, and we'll see with Saracens this weekend. They have a couple of injuries, but they have a lot of internationals in their squad, and Munster lack, you know, a big bulk of internationals, and that doesn't help. Are they missing Joey Carberry? I would say yes. I think it was well documented when he left, and probably, you know, particularly without halves, confidence is a big part, and it just didn't seem right for Joey. Like, you know, a couple of seasons back, he was a star, really, and he was involved with Ireland all the time and pushing Johnny Sexton at times. So, yeah, I would say so. Ben Healy's a loss as well. I think going back 2 years ago, they had those options at 10 and were able to rotate a little bit. And it's been tough for Billy Burns because there's a pressure and expectation there. And I've said this a few times about Jack Crowley, you know, and the Sam Prendergast argument. Well, it's a bit of an... He's an incredible player, Sam Prendergast. And his ceiling is very, very high. And he's shown the quality he has. But it's a bit of an armchair ride compared to maybe what Jack Crowley has had and Billy Burness has had in that Leinster game. So, you know, it all depends what happens in front of you. And constantly we talk about power and winning game lines and stuff like that. And unfortunately, you know, I know we'll chat about the Leinster game. That came to fruition in that game, you know. So, yeah, maybe a little bit of DNA. And I would say, yes, they would be missing a player of Joey Carberry's quality.
Let's talk about that Leinster game, Fiona Hayes. Was it a bad Munster performance? Was it a good Leinster one, or was it kind of a mix of both?
Look, I suppose from a Munster fan's perspective, you knew there was changes. It was a relatively young team that was out there. They didn't lack in character, didn't lack in want, but set piece, we've talked about how many times went wrong. Handling errors were probably just too much, and that's the issue. It's these basic skills, I suppose, that you just expect for these players to be able to come up with that. But in saying that, I thought on the line, Leinster defended like absolute animals. There's definitely something in there. We talk about that rush defence, but even their own defence on the line, Nina Burr has them coming up, putting serious pressure on Munster. What, like, I said this already, it's the lack of innovation around how Munster were doing things. So we saw Niall Scannell with the tap penalty, and I was in the crowd, you know, there was great buzz at times, but it was almost like a sigh every time they went back to that same penalty. Quick tap by Niall Scannell, carrying it into contact 5 meters out, defended every single time. I know eventually Munster did break them down at some stage, but it just was frustrating that they weren't trying these things. I feel it stems from a lack of confidence within the players. You know, it's that. I mean, Munster won, like, they only turned over the ball 5 times, Leinster had, and I thought there were penalties, 7 penalties, Leinster had 12 penalties. So there were some positives. We spoke about their discipline the week before, and they've certainly changed different areas of the game, but just the lack of innovativeness, changing things up, changing the picture, the attack never clicked into it, having all those errors in the back line, and that just goes, Quinny alluded to it a couple of minutes ago, couldn't get past the gain line. When they did and put Leinster on the back foot and had space, they were certainly trying to create things, but it all depended on getting past that gain line, and Leinster were very good at stopping Munster, but I would have expected a little bit more at home in Thomond Park from these guys.
What concerned you most about Munster's performance, Quinny?
I suppose that inability to get scores, like Fiona said, when they were in that close to Leinster's line on a number of occasions, just that accuracy there, and Leinster are a very hard team to break down. They're very physical, and their scramble defence is superb. And I suppose that little bit of ruthlessness. I look back in the game a couple of times, and it's very hard to fault Munster as regards. You can't fault them for their effort level and their approach and the intensity they tried to bring. But it was just, it wasn't enough. You need to be really ruthless in those areas and execute. There wasn't a lot that you could look back and say. I think that just the biggest thing you can take from the game is just the difference between the two sides. I think Leinster didn't have to overextend themselves. And I don't mean that in a bad way towards Munster. I mean, if you're standing on that Munster team, you're looking around as a player in the field, you just have power, quality all around you. And that's not rubbish. Like, it's a reality because all these guys are involved in Irish squads. And Leinster have their own injuries themselves. They've had a couple of big, high-profile players missing. But that's just the reality. I think all ifs and buts again, and it seems to be a lot of ifs and buts around where Munster are at. And you think if you're going to the game and Munster have 85-90% of their squad available to them, they have a real chance, you know, at home. But there's six or seven guaranteed starters that are missing with a lot of physical power. A lot of quality from Munster that can make a real difference. So power is a problem, ball carrying ability, and you saw from Leinster just the execution when they got in and close to that attack zone. So that's probably disappointed me most, just that inability to convert. Little bit of a bounce of the ball here and there. They could have made it tighter. I think the Josh van der Fleer try is something that again, quite surprised it wasn't overturned or looked at. James Ryan is on his back for 7 seconds, and then Munster counter rook, and then the ball pops out of it. Then there's a side clear out and try under the post. Matt Kenson was talking about those decisions and different decisions. He might be in a hot bit of hot water. He has a hearing to go to now, but there is a level at times here, and that's. If the game was only one score in it, that would have been a lot more talk afterwards. But the reality is, Leinster were a far better team. They didn't have to overplay out the field. Their game was get territory, get into Munster's half, and then we get scores. And they did that. And Munster had four or five opportunities, I think, and did score. I think it was five, and scored one with Tom Ahern's try. So that's the difference. But I couldn't fault the team as regards, you know, it being a terrible performance and players not putting in a shift. They did everything, and I think just that finishing touch was missing.
Just on that, sorry, Quinny, like I was saying, do you think changing up that pitcher from that 5 metre tap penalty? Because I know there was savage frustration around me from the fans. Yes, it is an option and it's something you'd have in your playbook, but surely there's five or six different options off that, and to keep consistently sticking with the same way and getting driven back behind the gain line, is that a leadership thing, do you think, or is it like a lack of confidence and they know they'll hold on to the ball from that? But that really disappointed me. It was a chance to stand up for these young guys and come up with something different that they would have practiced on the training ground, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, you're up against a team that are don't give up scores. I think they've the best defensive record in the league. Glasgow might be close to them, or it might be the other way around. But their stats are there for a reason. They're you know, I think teams get some line breaks against Leinster, but their scramble defence is incredible. And they have a real pride in their defence there. And then when you have physical players who can lift players back and win those collisions, I think a bit of innovation there, because against probably a lot of teams, if you had five chances like that, you'd probably score two or three, because they are hard to defend when you get to that zone. And if you have patience and a little bit of accuracy, teams, we've seen the last 2-3 years, a lot of teams getting tries there. But I think, yeah, when you're lacking big ball carriers and power, it might be worth doing something different. And maybe, you know, shifting a couple of the forwards a little bit wider and actually getting them running onto the ball. It was very repetitive. So I'm sure it's something that they'll be mindful of, and the coaches will look at that, because you need a bit of innovation to get those tries nowadays. Tapping and running straight into a brick wall. Again, Toulouse, Leinster, some of the big French teams, maybe Sarri's the weekend, teams with power. Bath now, they can probably do that and be really direct. I think the type of player Munster have at the moment, and the players, because of the players they're missing, they probably need a little bit of variety there and movement.
Sam Prendergast, Fiona, was named man of the match. Try three conversions. I know a lot of people are kind of disappointed that it wasn't the Jack Crowley Prendergast showdown that they were hoping for. But given, I suppose, the pressure that's on both players and the microscope that's on them, might not be a bad thing for the two lads involved.
Yeah, look, I don't want to be going into it. Sam Prendergast is brilliant. I was, his second week, I wasn't sure, was he player of the match? I thought Caelan Dorris was absolutely outstanding on the day. I mean, he just was everywhere on the pitch. That was from the stand, but certainly Sam Prendergast's kicking game was brilliant. I suppose if people are talking about this battle, we chatted about it beforehand. We knew that he had to be rested. And I suppose if it wasn't the Ulster game, it was going to be this. I think the disappointment is, and it's just the reality of Munster rugby, is that as a coach and staff, and you have to look at it from the outside, you're basically saying we won't win at home against Leinster, but we have a shot of going up against Ulster. And that's the reality of it. And they have to look at that, look at where the points are gotten. And they got 5 maximum points up in Ulster. It could have been a big game for Crowley. He could have pulled the strings, changed things up, but it also could have damaged him even further. So I think having come back off that Ulster game, I thought he played all right in that game. It was a good confidence booster. But for always, for a 10... to have a really good game, a confident kicking game. In general, you want to be getting the ball past the goal line. You want a little bit of space, and it wasn't a game like that. So maybe for Jack Crowley not playing this game, it hasn't damaged him as much. There's 2 big European games, but certainly having Sam Prendergast 2 weeks in a row coming out with player of the game, man of the match, it's going to be inside in Easterby's head. You know, you're going into camp. Maybe they don't look at these things, but in reality, if there is a lot of chatter around it, he now has probably the starting jersey definitely in Leinster. And that's something we've discussed in the past, that, you know, you didn't know at times who was going to come out in a European game. We now know Sam Prendergast, if injury free, will start the next 2 probably, and that gives him a good shot. But I think Crowley still, if he can put in 2 big games against Saracen and Northampton, he's still got his hands up. It just depends. It's all this media chatter really isn't helping him win a player of the game. But it is, it's a good battle, and Prendergast to have that means Crowley now needs to up his game again, and that's something he's got to do. He's got to get a confidence from not having a couple of good games and up it, and that's what coaches like to see, someone coming back. And if he can get 2 good games in the next European belt, I think he's still in that lead for that 10 jersey.
Big time, yeah. Quinny, it's quite obvious that Leinster are the best team in the country at the moment. Just how far are Munster behind, and are they still the second best team in the country, or have Connacht or Ulster kind of overtaken them at this point?
You're splitting hairs, really, Rory, I think, between the other 3, Ulster, Connacht and Munster. Munster beat Ulster up in Belfast. Leinster beat Munster, which is not a surprise for, you know, against any of the provinces. Ulster go to Connacht and they beat Connacht. So the results kind of we've seen in the Interpros would indicate that, you know, I don't know, you're splitting hairs, I think. There's very little, you know, I think Ulster have a lot of injuries, Munster have a lot of injuries. Connacht's probably less so. They have a couple for sure. But I think the biggest disappointment in the Interpros probably would be Connacht's performance against Ulster at home. That was a must-win game for them. So I don't know. There's not a lot between them. Any of the 3 teams can beat each other on the day. I think the other 3. Can you beat Leinster? Well, if Leinster mix and match a bit and you have a full squad out, any of the other 3 can beat them. So we saw Ulster winning last year against Leinster and Belfast. That sent Leinster to Pretoria for a semi-final. it messed up their league situation, the home situation. Connacht won their, was it last year in the RDS, maybe 12 months previous, and those horrendous conditions. Billy Burns with the crossfield kicks, if you remember. So Munster won that semi-final a year and a half ago. So on their day, I think if they have everyone fit and Leinster kind of chop and change a bit, they might get a result or they'll be far more competitive. But the gap is pretty significant. And the other three, I think Connacht should have beaten Munster in the first game of the season now in Thomond Park. Should have is probably a bit, maybe a little bit too far, but certainly could have. And they caused Munster a lot of problems. So, yeah, there's not much in it. I think it's obviously Leinster and then Munster, Ulster and Connacht in that order, probably.
Probably, yeah.
The other provincial fans can argue, probably. But again, it's, look, on their day, either of the three, you know, Munster have to go to Connacht in the URC in a couple of months, and it'll be heading towards knockout stages, so that'll be a significant one. But again, you're splitting hairs between the other three.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we look ahead to the clash with Saracens and we'll name our star of the week from the Leinster game, you can become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,